Message, so you can get rid of the PowerPoint. Wow, how do I follow that? I'm thankful that you came too, Dad and Mom. I'm thankful that you answered the call of God that's on your life. You've made a huge impact on my life, and I will forever be indebted for the decision that you made in your life. You gonna take notes today? Amen. Amen. So y'all can take notes if you want on the notepad that on the notes that was provided to you. But you know, when I threw the curveball to Dad this morning in the office, you know, he took it. We got a little base hit. We're on base right now. So I'm gonna get up here and I'm gonna try to at least hit a single. But I'm gonna depend on God to hit the home run tonight today. I really feel like He's given me an on-time word for you guys, and I hope that you're in a place of receptivity as I bring it forth. So let me paint a picture real quick. How many sports fans do we have in here? Anybody watch football? We like football, yeah. It's America's sport. We like to watch football. So football, it's 11 on offense, 11 on defense. And the coaches of these two teams have prepared a game plan that they believe will help their team get the victory. They believe that if their team will do what they're assigned, that they will win. So they play the game, they play the first half. One team's winning at halftime, one team's losing, right? So when they go to the locker room, the coach makes some adjustments on the losing team, and they still have the outlook that if you do what you're assigned, you will win this game. The coach in this picture is your pastor. He spends a lot of time studying, preparing the Word of God for you guys to set you up for victory. This means that you have to do what you're assigned to do in order to win. He delivers the game plan, you do what you're assigned, and you get victory. I'm going to take the next little while just to show you some ways that you can do your part on offense and defense. I'm going to make some points today that I feel are in the heart of your pastor and most pastors around the world. Some of these they will likely never ask you to do, so be prepared to be challenged and come alongside of your pastor and his heart for you. Everything that we talk about today will put you in a better place to win, as well as put your pastor in a better place to strategize a game plan. Let's pray for God's word today. God, we thank you that you prepared this place even before we thought about walking in the door. This place was prepared. Your spirit was already here preparing this place for your word to come forth, for your ministering angels to work on hearts, for your love and compassion to touch people. God, we welcome you to continue to do that. We welcome you to work on our hearts, to show us your way, to show us your glory, to show us yourself in a magnificent way. God, we pray that the words that you speak today will not come from me. They won't come from anything that I think I need to say, but they will come from you. I pray that you speak through me clearly today. May hearts and lives be transformed and open to hear from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, before I go any further in the message, I just want to let you know that I'm going to be spending most of my time right here. That should show you that how much more you should appreciate your pastor, because he spends time down here away from his notes. What that tells me is that he gets the game plan really deep in his heart. He knows the game plan before he comes in here, and it's so deep in his heart, he doesn't even need to refer to his notes. I'm not to that place yet. I hope to get there someday. I need my notes. I need my game plan so I can tell you how to strategize to get the victory. You know, we were at a conference recently, and there was just one speaker. He gave a message. It was an excellent message. He didn't refer to his notes one time. And the friends that we were with, they were in amazement at the speaker didn't look at his notes. I was like, yeah, it is really amazing. And I thought to myself, my dad does that every single Sunday. He gets a message in his heart so deep that he doesn't even need to look at his notes. So I'm going to spend my time up here. I might wander down a step, maybe two steps, but I'm going to stay pretty close to my notes because I feel like God has something to say. All right. We're going to start in Hebrews. If I had to put a title on the message today, I would call it, It's an Honor to Honor. And I'm going to speak to you about different ways you can honor your pastor and come alongside of him and help him along the way. So if you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 13 with me, I'm going to read several scriptures from 7 to verse 22, and then we'll go on a little journey here through God's word. Starting in verse 7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you in the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teaching, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burnt outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. As those who have to give an account, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would not be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you, the more earnestly you do this, in order that I may be restored to you sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom glory forever and ever. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with me my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with you all. So I'm going to hang out right now in verse 18 and 19. And my first point is how it's an honor to honor. How do you honor your pastor? You can pray for him. In verse 18, it says, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you sooner. Has your pastor ever asked you to pray for him? Probably not. You should, though. I'm asking you to pray for him. I'm asking you to always pray for him, to always keep him on your heart, to always think about him and his wife. See, God's leaders face temptations that most other believers do not face to the same degree, because Satan knows if he can undermine the leaders, many others will go down with them. If he can get your pastor off track, that kind of gets you off track too, because this is sort of a follow the leader type thing. You depend on your pastor to give you the way you should go, to teach you where you should go, to tell you what's right, to tell you what's wrong. Even though we have the Spirit to convict us, our pastor sort of sets us on a motion, sets us in a direction. And if the enemy can get our pastor off of that direction, he gets the whole body off of that direction. So pray for your pastor that he can stay committed and stay on the direction. If he can get compromised and weaken his stand, it'll lessen his efforts. It'll do the body of Christ a lot of damage if our pastors get off track. So pray for him. As we see in the scripture, they are needed. Prayers are needed. To know that you have people behind you going to battle for you in the spiritual realm brings a pastor so much peace and joy. To know that they have people behind them that are warring for them. This is a spiritual war we're in. We're in a battle. If we can win the battle in the spiritual, gosh, it moves the heart of God so much. When people come alongside their pastors and the people that are in leadership over them in prayer, it moves God's heart with compassion that you care for your pastor and you would take time out of your day to pray for him, to encourage him, to lift him up in prayer. You know, pray that the kingdom will come on earth as in heaven. Pray that he is refreshed and renewed. Pray that he gets a fresh word every day from God. Pray that he's in the zone every time he comes in here on Sunday. This is game day. You never know who's going to walk through that door. You never know who's going to walk through that door that needs to hear the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to know, and we need to lift our pastor up, lift your pastor up to know that he is in the zone. Have you ever seen anybody in the zone, like on a basketball court? Like Michael Jordan got in the zone a lot when he was just unstoppable, when he would just score basket after basket. He would dish out assist after assist. It was just like, I can remember watching some videos of Michael Jordan. There was one game in the playoffs against the Portland Trailblazers. I think he scored like 63 points. He just kept hitting three after three, and I just remember him going, like, I'm in the zone. Just keep feeding me the ball. You need your pastor to be in the zone every single Sunday. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. We need to pray for, you need to pray for your pastor that he will open his mouth. Well, I'm sitting here thinking, like, now that I'm thinking about that, your pastor opens his mouth boldly all the time. But there's always room to be even more bold. There's always space that you can pray for him to be even more bold than he already is. If that's even possible, I'm sure it is, but just keep praying for him. In 2 Thessalonians 3:1, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. What do y'all think that means to be swiftly? The word to be swiftly. To run swiftly. To me, that means without facing any hurdles. Like, just like a perfect, swift delivery. Like, it just runs perfect. It goes perfect. Pray that the words that he gets will land on fertile soil. The greatest need of a pastor is a congregation that prays for him. That's the greatest need. And can I get an amen to say this also applies for the pastor's wife? Yes, that she also needs your prayers? She needs to know that she's not the only one warring for a husband. She needs to have that, just that notch in her spirit to know that there's people beside her praying for her husband and encouraging him and coming behind him and lifting him up. Because we know that she does. Right? If you as a body will win the battle in the spiritual, if you will go to battle and take back some ground that the enemy has stolen, this ministry will move into an area of great blessing. Like I said before, it moves the heart of God when his people are concerned for their leader. When they have a concern in their spirit to lift him up and to pray for him. He has placed him in a place in your lives to lead you. And for me, I want the person that's leading my life, I want them to have everything they need for the battle. I want them to be so overflowed with armor that they can both be effective and move swiftly, but they can be protected. This is offense and defense. So remember to pray for your pastor. Number two, you can participate in the church. That will honor your pastor so much. And when I was praying about participate, I'm on a P theme here. Got three P's for you, for your pastor. P for your pastor. I was looking at the vision of this ministry. And I just want to read it for you. Greatest Freedom Ministries is an evangelistic outreach ministry with a purpose to raise up, and mobilize soul winners to reach our nations with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. Greatest Freedom Ministries is a training center for soul winners around the world. It will be an equipping center to help the body grow, be perfected in the image of Christ our Lord, and to send those equipped to reach the world with the love of God. Proverbs 28:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people will perish." Aren't you thankful you got a vision? This isn't just a vision. This is a God-appointed vision. This isn't something that Dad came up with on his own. It's not something that he wrote down. It's like, oh, that sounds catchy. I believe it's truly from the heart of God. And if you will take it serious and do your part to help it come to pass, it will bring him such honor. It will bring him such joy to see his people winning souls for Christ. You know, sometimes we need to ask ourselves, what's most important to me? And do these important things bring value to my life? Do they bring value to my family's life? And do they bring value to my church? If the answer is no, we need to make a simple adjustment. You just need to adjust a little bit. Your pastor will be overflowing with honor and joy if he sees you chasing the vision with him. And you know, I have some statistics that I would like to share with you. These are United States. 95% of believers have never led anyone to Christ. When I heard this, I was floored. I was like, really? 95%? And then I thank the Lord for ministries like this one, whose vision is to raise up people to be soul winners, to share the gospel. You know, I think when we talk about sharing the gospel, when we think about it, we get to a place where it's like, I don't think I can do it. There's so much doubt, there's so much anxiety when we think about the gospel. There's no pressure on you to perform. No pressure at all. You know, for the most part, all you have to do is share your testimony. And then say, that's what God did in my life. Yeah. And people will see that. And not 100% of the time, but if you share what God's done in your life, people will ask you questions. People will say, well, who is this God? Or where do you go to church? Or how do I get to this place? So people will open up the door if you just crack it just a little bit. Here's another one. 80% of pastors have not shared their faith in the last 12 months to anyone outside of their congregation. This is in America. Your pastor, without a doubt, falls into the 20% of this statistic. I would say that the over or under is 12 hours since he last shared the gospel with somebody outside of this congregation. 12 months is a stretch. 12 hours for him. Will you share? Will you step out of your comfort zone? Here's another one that's staggering. 27% of pastors have not preached the gospel from the pulpit in the last 12 months. This is the problem in our nation. Aren't you thankful that you're part of a ministry that is centered around sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Aren't you thankful that people that come here have the opportunity to answer that call, to hear the gospel-saving message? I'll tell you. Participating in church, it's a sacrifice. And your pastor and his wife, they can't do it on their own. They will try. They will try. How many times have you heard from this pulpit, during announcements, many hands make light work? That's a common saying here, right? It's a very good saying. It's true. It's a true statement. But how many times do you laugh it off and say, ain't that the truth, and then don't do nothing? Guilty. I'm guilty of it. How are you making the work light? What are you doing to make the work light in this ministry? I think it's easy to take some things for granted. You know, for example, in the wintertime when it snows, who do you think is down here shoveling the sidewalks? That guy. He's doing it unto the Lord. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's not. Who's the first one here to get the building ready for you guys to come in here? Your pastor. Who goes to the hospital in the middle of the night when he gets the call? It's your pastor. Well, JJ, isn't that the job of the pastor? To serve the body in all these ways? No. The job is the pastor to equip you. His job is to equip you to serve this church. His job is to equip you to do these things. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, "And he himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry and for edifying the body of the Christ." His job is to equip you to do these things. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, it says, "God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, and varieties of tongues." You know, it's amazing that helps is mentioned in one of the ministry gifts, following miracles and gifts of healings. Yet many of us do not see helps as ministry like the Lord does. Paul emphasized helps as a ministry, but it is often thought about like a chore or an obligation. Anything that doesn't involve bringing you the word of God falls in the ministry of helps. He can't do it alone. Your pastor is here to prepare you to help him do these things. They all have to be done all the time. What would it look like if you took that call in the middle of the night? How much of a sacrifice would it be? Yes, it would be a big one. But he does it time and time and time again. Now, I'm not telling you that you need to answer every call that comes in, or he shouldn't take the calls in the middle of the night because he loves doing those things. But some of the other things, he should not be doing. He should be spending that time preparing himself to bring you guys a word of edification, comfort, exhortation, to lift you up, to give you a game plan so you can make a difference in our world and in our community. Number three, praise. Now, I'm not saying we got to praise your pastor as your savior. I'm talking about this in the way of gratitude, offering him some gratitude. Like this, for instance. I could tell when this was brought in, it moved his heart because his heart is not anything about him. It's all about Jesus. This moved him. This is a great way to show your gratitude. You know, if the sermon that he brings, the message that he brings, hurts your toes, if it lifts your spirit, tell him. Say, "Man, thank you, Pastor. That really challenged me. Thank you, Pastor. That really lifted my spirit. That helped me get to a better place as a believer." Think about this for a moment. You're at a restaurant, okay? You're served a nice meal. The service was excellent. Your steak was cooked to perfection. Everything was perfect. How do you show your gratitude? You give your server a tip and you say, "Thank you so much." Right? You thank them for it. The better the service, the better the tip. Crappy service, even though we shouldn't, we leave a crappy tip. This should be the same outlook for your pastor. He's feeding you the bread of life. He's feeding you a manna that does not go away, that fills you forever, that will never leave you hungry. When you get filled by this food, it's everlasting. So what should you do? You should tell your pastor, "Thank you." You should give him a tip, maybe even a $20 bill, a $50, maybe even a $100 bill, I don't know. You know, you hear that saying, I'm going to bless their socks off. I'm going to let you in on an inside secret. Most of the time, your pastor wears two pairs of socks. So you'll need to bless them extra to bless both pairs off. Hebrews 13:7, we read earlier, says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. You know, when I was praying about coming and delivering this message and just being here, my family doesn't go here anymore, but my dad is a spiritual pastor in my life, and I appreciate everything that he does, and I hope that I honor him, and I've told him I want to be like him. I want to be that person that shares the gospel to anybody. I don't want to be him. I want to be like him. I want to do some of the things that he does without even thinking about it. Like when the opportunity arises, I want to be to the place where I can say, yes, God, I will follow that little nudge in my gut. I will answer that little, the Holy Spirit inside of me that says, say more, say more. With him, like, it's just who he is. Like, what's not good about that to imitate? He shares the gospel to anybody that will listen. That's a good faith to imitate, in my opinion. Another way you can show your gratitude is by applying the Word of God to your life. The Word that He brings forth every Sunday, if you will begin to apply those things to your life, changes will happen. And your pastor will notice them. And he will be honored. He will have joy. And he will see that as gratitude. Because he sees you making those adjustments. He sees when you're changing. And he thinks to himself, wow, they are listening. They are hearing what the Spirit of God is telling them through me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, in Matthew 7:12, it says, therefore, whatever you want man to do to you, also do to them. For this is the law of the prophets. I say this to my boys all the time. They fight all the time. They're always fighting each other and saying, he's mean. He said this. He did that. And what do I say? Treat him how you want to be treated. If you don't want him to be mean to you, don't be mean to him. If you don't want him to say bad things to you, don't say bad things to him. It should be the same thing with your pastor. If you want him to pray for you, pray for him. You want him to encourage you? Encourage him. You want him to show up for you? Show up for him on Sundays. That moves his heart. That brings him such joy. Do unto the others as you would have them do unto you. You know, then I'm thinking, in Galatians, it talks about you reap what you sow. You sow the flesh, you reap of the flesh. You sow the Spirit, you reap of the Spirit. Show him your gratitude in any way you can. Showing up, saying it, write it down. You know, I thought about having a time for you guys to share, but I would rather you write down something that you appreciate about your pastor and give it to him. You know why? Because when he's feeling discouraged or feeling like he's not accomplishing anything, he can do like David did. He can go back and rehearse his victories. When he feels like he's just not getting through, he can go back and read those notes and say, you know what? I am making a difference. I am doing things in my people's lives that are changing them. Write these notes down and give them to him. I've been speaking a lot and giving, you know, a lot of the props to my dad, and he doesn't want any fame or glory. He doesn't want you to praise him. He doesn't want you to bow down before him. He wants you to praise Jesus. He wants you to honor Jesus with your life. He wants you to do the things that bring glory to our Savior. He doesn't want any of the credit. That's not why I'm saying all these things about him. Though he deserves credit, he deserves to be honored, he deserves to be glorified. But if it wasn't for Jesus, right? Only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. So we need to pray for our pastor. We need to participate. We need to praise. Pray, participate, praise. I've been talking a lot about my dad now. I just want to say a little something about my mother and her heart for you guys. She has such a kind heart, such a generous heart. She too only wants to bring God glory, only wants to honor God, only wants to honor Jesus with everything she does. Everything she puts her hand to, she does it without wanting anything in return. She's just so giving. Such a woman of grace, a woman of great character, and a woman that just strives to bring God glory daily. I love you, Mom. I love what you do for this church. I love what you do for God. I got a little poem I found for you. And I'm going to challenge you. Don't cry while I read this poem. I'm going to try not to as well. I'm going to try not to cry too. Deal? The pastor's wife. She's a godly woman. She has such grace. Always a warm greeting, a smile on her face. She's always encouraging. She knows her place. She is the pastor's wife. She has to always look just right, always on time, though the schedule's tight. Every morning till late at night, always the pastor's wife. She's such a lady, everyone's friend. She serves from love deep within. All the rifts she tries to mend, oh, she's the pastor's wife. She carries your burdens, she prays for you. Sometimes she cries the whole night through. But you won't know when she's feeling blue, because she's the pastor's wife. At church, as she starts to walk up the aisle, so many needs to stop and talk for a while. Though she's tired, she has her own trials. She's patient. She's the pastor's wife. Her life, her time is not her own. There's always a need. They go on and on. With a knock on the door or a ringing phone, that's the life of a pastor's wife. Her husband she shares with the whole congregation. She humbly accepts his intense dedication. In loneliness she kneels to seek consolation. God bless the pastor's wife. She will someday reach the end of her race as she meets her master face to face. Surely our God had a special place in heaven for the pastor's wife. You do it so graciously, Mom. You really do. I honor you. You're special. God's pleased with you. He loves you so much. He sees everything you do. He's got great plans for you. In closing, what do we learn? We need to pray for our pastor. We need to participate in church. And we need to praise him, offer him gratitude. You have a special man leading you. There's no doubt about it. And I guarantee you that he would give you the shirt off his back. Any one of you, if you needed it, he would give it to you. Care for him well. Love him well. And serve him well. Let us pray. God, we just thank you for challenging us as we seek to glorify you and honor you. As we encourage, pray for, participate in this body, I thank you that you have done it all. You know, some of these things might not, just pause the prayer. Can I put pause in that prayer for just a second? You know, some of this stuff might not make a lot of sense to somebody in here. Because they don't have a relationship with Jesus. Some of these things about being the sacrificing time, praying for, offering gratitude, they might not make sense to you. You know, God gave his son for you, that you might come to know him. His word says that we all like sheep have gone astray, to each his own way, and the Lord laid upon Christ the iniquity of us all. That might be you in here. God might be working on your heart saying, I want to know how I can come to a place where I can pray for somebody. I want to know how I can come to a place where I can participate in church. I want to know where I can come to a place where I can be thankful for a pastor and be thankful for a congregation that serves Jesus. If that's you, he wants to come into a relationship with you today. He wants to meet you right where you are. That's the good thing about Christ. He meets us where we are. We don't have to meet him where he is. He comes to us. We don't need to go to him. So if that's you, if everybody would bow their heads again. If that's you, raise your hand. You can come to know him today. You can be strengthened within him. You might say, I once had that relationship, but I don't anymore. I'm not quite in the place I used to be. He'll still meet you right where you are. If that's you, raise your hand today. Put that hand down, I see it. Is there another in here that wants to know Jesus better than they already have? That wants a relationship that's so good? Stand up with me. We'll pray this prayer together. God, say, God, thank you for coming into my life, meeting me right where I am, saving me and setting me free. I choose you today, God. Be Lord of my life. I acknowledge you died on the cross, you arose from the grave, and you paid the penalty for my sins. Thank you, God, for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mom and Dad, if y'all come up here, I would love to...